When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Law professor by day, music entertainer by night, Lynn Crossett is a singer-songwriter based in San Marcos, Texas. He frequently travels between Central Texas and Southern California, performing his style of Americana and alternative country. Lynn joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his latest album, In the Company of a Song, produced by Grammy Award-winning alt-country legend Lloyd Maines. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today and giving us a chance to learn a little bit more about your music and what you do as a musician. I believe I have in my notes you are in San Marcos, Texas. Is that correct?
I am. Yeah, it's in Central Texas. It's a little college town outside of Austin, Texas. We're kind of halfway between Austin and San Antonio, where Texas State University is.
Ah, cool. That's neat. Do you do a lot with the college-oriented groups? Is that part of what you do?
A fair amount, because actually for my day job, I'm actually a professor at Texas State.
Oh, cool. Okay.
universities. Yeah. So I teach and then I play gigs, you know, mainly right around here in San Marcos, because surprisingly, as much of a kind of small college town as it is, there are a lot of really nice music venues, and there's pretty active singer-songwriter live music scene here.
So what are you a professor of?
So I teach law classes in the political science department. There's a master's program in legal studies, and I direct that program and teach full-time there, which makes it a challenge to find the amount of time that I would like to spend, you know, playing music.
Yeah.
But I managed to work it in.
So I'm going to get ahead of myself, but how did you become involved in law and a professor of law and an Americana musician at the same time?
Yeah, good question. music's just always been a part of, you know, kind of everything I've done, and especially since my kind of college age, going to college in, you know, Austin was a really good place to be. The kind of music that I was into, this Americana alt country kind of stuff in the 90s. So that's when I really started playing music while I was in college, and just kind of continue that on through, you know, work life and law school and family life. And then I've kind of finally gotten to a stage where I can focus on it, you know, more, and actually get out and play more gigs and actually record a real record and put it out there.
Well, I didn't want to miss the opportunity to ask that question, but I'm going to back up now for a minute and ask you how music began for you as a hobby and then became something that was a profession. Did you grow up with it in the home?
You know, not really. No one in my household played an instrument. Of course, we listened to music, all the time. I had an uncle who was a fantastic guitar player, but, he lived out of state. I saw him on a couple of holidays, so I don't know if it had really that much of an influence.
Yeah.
On my mother's side, her mother actually played guitar, and her father was a bit of a, traveling Woody Guthrie type, hopping freight trains and traveling around the country in the Great Depression, picking his guitar and And so, you know, maybe genetically I, you know, picked up something from that side of the family. You know, we never really spent, you know, real time together.
When did you catch the bug? When did you pick up the guitar and start writing songs?
Kind of late teen years, and then probably more in earnest, you know, at 20, 21, around that age. I had always wanted to learn guitar. I was so intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. And then once I finally, you know, kind of demystified it, realized, well, wow, most of the stuff that I really like so much is just three or four chords.
Right.
You know, and I realized, well, I can actually play these, you know, play these songs. And yeah. I almost immediately just started writing songs. You know, it was great to learn to play songs of, you know, the artists that I admired, but I almost immediately just started kind of trying to write my own, you know, versions of those.
When did you realize this was something that was worth your time pursuing beyond the hobby stage?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I've always just kind of played around with it. But not, I shouldn't say just playing around with it, because it's you know, it's been a major part of my entire, you know, adult life. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, probably when I wrote that first song that I felt really good about, you know, that I felt like I actually expressed what I wanted to express, mm-hmm. you know, kind of in the way that I was hoping to express it. And, you know, it wasn't just something that seemed to accidentally come out or, you know, that I felt like, well, you know, maybe I can actually write.
Yeah.
I can write songs. And that's really been the primary focus, is, you know, as much as over the years, I've, you know, certainly tried to get better at playing various instruments and getting better as a singer. But I've always really just been so intrigued by songwriting, you know, mm-hmm. the artists that I admire the most are really good songwriters, and mm-hmm. they may not be, you know, what we would consider to be really talented, you know, singers or having, you know, a naturally pleasant sounding, you know, tone of voice, but they deliver, you know, wonderful songs, and mm-hmm. so I'm kind of more drawn to those artists because I probably identify with more, you know, that myself.
Now, you have a new record out, but this isn't your first album, is that right?
Right. It's my first, you know, really professionally produced record to mm-hmm. put up. You know, I've recorded, you know, several albums that were, you know, that would be more demo quality kind of recordings, and, you know, put them on my website kind of thing. But I didn't really release them. I didn't put them out there into the world until I made a, you know, what I felt was like a proper record, professionally produced, recorded. Record that I could proudly, you know, put out on streaming platforms and send out to, you know, to radio and hope that people would listen.
So is it safe to call this your debut professional release?
I think, yeah, I think it is.
Okay. In the Company of a Song, is that correct? Is that the name of the album?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the album title.
So tell me about putting that together. Are these a collection of songs you wrote for that record, or are these songs that you've compiled over the years and reworked for this project?
Yeah. Now, they're pretty much just songs I wrote for this record, with the exception of one. Because when I decided I was going to do this, I thought, okay, I've got this great opportunity to record. Should I go back and pick what I think are my best songs I've ever written, mm-hmm. you know, over the years, and put those on there? Or should I focus on kind of where I am now, mm-hmm. you know, and what I've written more recently? And I opted to focus on kind of, you know, the stage where I am now. So it's almost all new songs and really kind of brand new songs. You know, some of the songs I had just written just before we went in to record them. Okay. So I was still, you know, making sure I knew the lyrics myself as I was singing them. Some of them were that new.
Wow. Okay.
And I only put one older, you know, one song that was about 10 years old, on the record. It's a song called Child Support Trips. I just loved that song. And I just felt like that was, something that I needed to include on a, mm-hmm. if I get a chance to put out a record that's produced by Lloyd Maines, that I want to see what kind of treatment he would give to,
sure.
to this song along with the new ones.
So tell me about the process of writing for this album then. What What was the inspiration? Did you have a theme in mind? How did you, not pulling old songs in from your past catalog, and writing fresh material, what was the inspiration? What was the catalyst for the material that's on it?
You know, they all kind of came together. I didn't really have a theme in mind, but I noticed as I was assembling, I had about 15 or 20, pretty new songs mm-hmm. that I was looking at, including on the record. And then I just, I kept writing some more too as we were getting closer to that time. And when I narrowed it down to 10, I noticed that, there did seem to be a kind of a theme that, especially that song In the Company of a Song,
mm-hmm.
I think sort of captures, sort of isolation and loneliness, even though I'm not really isolated or lonely, but there's certainly that kind of theme to quite a few of those, songs. So I thought, they all kind of go together as a unit here, as an overall kind of
fit an
album. So not just a random collection of songs.
Well, there was a lot of isolation for artists not that long ago. So I wonder how much of that was the inspiration or behind some of the inspiration.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that, recording this, we were doing it right at the end. Well, I don't know, the pandemic's really over, but right at the end of the time when we were all, really a lot more isolated, not mm-hmm. Getting out much. So you're right. I'm sure that's where that influenced a lot of that writing. There were plenty of times of just, sitting in a room by myself with, just my guitar, and that tended to be the theme.
Sure. Yeah. And at that point, along with all the other artists, wondering if you'll ever get to play in front of a live crowd again, at least the way we knew that prior to those moments.
Yeah, I know. There was so much uncertainty at that time. Of course, the timing wasn't good for anyone, but I was really starting to get out and play a lot more.
Yeah.
More regular gigs lined up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, before everything came crashing down. And you're right. That was, late 2019 through early 2020.
Yeah.
And I didn't play again until, I got out over the summer of last year, summer of 2021, when we thought everything was better for a time
mm-hmm.
last summer, and got out and started playing again that summer. But then by, that fall, the numbers had shot back up again, and really wasn't comfortable doing indoor gigs. So I laid off, and that was kind of good timing, because that's when I went in and got started on the recording that fall of 2021. And then we wrapped it up, this spring. So that kind of worked out well, that while I couldn't really get out there and play much anyway, I could at least record.
Yeah.
write and record.
Right. Yeah. Have you been able to get back out now? Or are you kind of getting back out in front of some crowds?
Yeah. Fortunately, I have been. I had a really nice opportunity come my way earlier this year. There's a local music venue here in San Marcos called the Cheatham Street Warehouse that started in the 70s by a man named Kent Finley, who's just a real kind of hero to the up-and-coming songwriters. And
yeah,
he's kind of credited with helping discover some pretty famous people. Kind of all came through his club. He had a Wednesday night songwriters night that was kind of an open mic, but for songwriters. That was mm-hmm. truly like a listening room kind mm-hmm. of thing. And you name it, came through Todd Snyder, James McMurtry, came through Cheatham Street Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Kent passed away several years ago, but his son and the rest of the family has kind of kept that tradition going.
Oh, cool.
And I've been a part of some of those songwriter nights for a while, and they were nice enough to invite me to kind of a regular residency.
Oh, neat.
There. So I play a Friday early show every Friday, and yeah, that's been really nice. Right at the time that I was putting the record out, I had a regular Friday gig where I could play play these new songs and get them out there, and
right.
work in old songs too. Especially, there's something about having a residency that
Yeah.
Gives you a little laboratory to just experiment, exactly. You know, try out brand new songs there. Yeah.
So when did the album come out? How long has it been out?
So it came out at the end of April. It came out on April the 22nd.
Yeah. Are you getting some traction? Have you been able to get it out to some radio stations and those types of outlets?
Yeah, it's been pretty kind of slow incremental progress because I'm completely do-it-yourself, independent artist. So I'm sending this thing out to radio stations and the music press, and it's just wonderful when I get responses. And so far, I think, public radio, college radio has certainly been, my friend. Those are the outlets where I've started to get some airplay. I've kind of gone in rotation on some public radio stations around Texas. And you're in Virginia, right?
Right, we are. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a really nice show on Saturday nights on the public radio station. I don't know if it's probably more northern Virginia. This guy named Eric Church, he hosts a Saturday night show called Roots Down.
Okay. Yeah, I am familiar with it. I don't know him, but yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he's picked up on my, he's one of the, people I sent it to, and he's picked up on it, and he has played a song from that album on his show about every Saturday night for
That's
5
awesome.
Weeks now. It's like, I love it.
Yeah.
And then it's great because I've discovered these other, shows like this too, and that have these, great playlists. And
right.
So it's not only, it's a thrill to, hear my song on the radio, but it's also a thrill to hear my song on the radio followed by, Guy Clark,
exactly.
One of my heroes.
Yeah, right. That's really cool.
Because people curate some really nice playlists on some of these Americana public radio shows.
What would you like to do with it beyond the hometown shows that you're doing? Is there a thought or a hope to get it out outside of Texas and some sort of tour?
Yeah, actually, I absolutely would love to get airplay beyond Texas, and that's what's been so wonderful about the Virginia connection. I'm working on California because I spend a fair amount of time in California. My son lives in Los Angeles, and so I travel back and forth.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And actually, that was one of the places I was really starting to play there more regularly before the pandemic. And I'd like to kind of get that going again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when I have a little bit more time over the next couple of years, maybe start touring, starting off with kind of back and forth between here and Southern California, setting up shows along the way, nice Western tour,
right,
decent shows in California
and
come back. And then, over the years, hopefully expanding that and doing some other, tours across different parts of the country and kind of finally getting to a stage where I can, start, doing that here before too long.
Yeah.
When life was a lot busier and complicated before, there was just never a time that I could have seen myself just going on the road, but,
Yeah, that's cool. I think every musician,
within a few years,
every musician, that's kind of a bucket list thing. So, I hope that works for you. What's on the horizon? How far ahead are you thinking with new music?
I would love to, even though I'm still kind of having fun with this record and trying to put in the time to really, get it out there. I am starting to kind of get the itch already for recording another one.
Cool, good.
And I tell you, if I could just line up Lloyd for, like, let's say, hey, let's just meet every year for as long as
wouldn't that be
each
awesome?
Other lives. Just keep doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would just be wonderful.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. So the album, again, tell us the album name again and the website and how people can reach out, get in touch, and listen to your music and have a conversation if they'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called In the Company of a Song. It's available on my website at Lynn Crossett, LynnCrossett, www.thebeatmusic.com. Of course, it's out there on all the streaming platforms. For anyone in the Austin, Texas area, there's a wonderful record store called Waterloo Records. It's kind of like, that's the public radio, Americana radio.
I've been in there. It's an awesome place. Yeah. Yeah. That's
cool. It is. It's great. And they are so friendly to independent artists.
Yeah.
They have actually, they put me on the display up front with, again, some of my, heroes.
That's cool.
Had new releases this year as well. And I think that's helped with some of the album sales there. Mm-hmm. Just having it right there on display in the front, that it's not just buried somewhere. in the stacks, all those CDs out there for people who actually still buy.
Yeah, sure.
Buy CDs, but they've been so friendly to and welcoming to independent artists. So you can actually order it online from Waterloo Records as well, or Amazon or other places if you want a physical. Good. Physical CD, and at least for now, I'm focusing primarily on playing right here in Central Texas, and starting to maybe line up some more Southern California shows. But before too long, I really do want to be out there playing other parts of the country as well.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope that works out for you. Certainly it's nice to live in a land where those types of dreams can come true. So. We definitely wish that best success for you, and I appreciate it, Lynn, the chance to talk with you about your music and hear a little bit about your story, and certainly hope that this album catches a flame and just takes off for you.
Oh, well, thank you, and I definitely appreciate you taking an interest in the record and taking the time to do the interview with me. I enjoyed chatting with you.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.